A city upon a hill is one of the most enduring images in the American oratorical canon. First used in 1620 by John Winthrop in his sermon to his fellow passengers on the Arbella, he wanted to tell his fellow colonists, his friends with whom he was going to be starting the new Puritan colony in Massachusetts Bay, what they were all about. They'd enter together into a covenant. They'd enter into a compact to start a new kind of community. They were going to found a godly place, a new Jerusalem. And it was here, if they were successful, that they would be able to fashion a new community that would give glory to God and affirm a vision of how people might live together. The image of the city on a hill has resonated with generations of Americans, and it's not surprising. The idea of being a beacon, an example to others, is powerful. It has inspired, it has encouraged, it has led people to try to do great things in the service of others. But there is also a dark side here. And in this image, there has been an invitation to smugness and a sense of superiority. Just as is with this metaphorical city, so too was the case with a real city 2,000 years ago. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, there were no Christians present. There may have been a few strangers, people passing by, but Jesus and the disciples and the crowd were all Jews. And so for them, the city on a hill would have been Jerusalem. Jerusalem, their capital, the Davidic city. Jerusalem, the home of the temple, the place of pilgrimage and worship. Jerusalem, the place where people could look back with fondness on the memories of glories gone by and point towards the hope of restoration. That was the ideal of Jerusalem. The reality didn't always meet that ideal. Leaders, political and religious alike, had strayed, had ignored God's commandments. And so the city on a hill wasn't a beacon to others. And so Jesus came to preach and to explain Scripture. And as he makes clear in today's lesson, he does so not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to help people understand what it is truly all about. And so he said to that congregation that day, "You are the city on a hill. It's not Jerusalem. It's not the place of bricks and mortar. No, it is you gathered together. And what is it you do as the city of God? You shine a light." Now, some people might scratch their heads when they hear about hiding a light beneath a bushel. Not something we normally do these days. But 2,000 years ago, living in your one-room house with only an oil lamp and a hard-to-light wick, you wouldn't want that flame to go out. So if you were leaving, or you were worried about wind, you might cover it with a basket so the flame would continue. You would protect something valuable. "Don't do it," Jesus said. "Light is not meant to be hidden. Light is meant to be shared." Light, of course, is something that carries throughout our scripture, right from the beginning. Remember, God creates day and night, and with that, light and darkness. And the interesting thing about light, or one of them at least, is that it doesn't uniformly illuminate things, does it? Whether you've got the sun or flashlight or your smartphone or a candle or torch, when you shine that light on something, some elements of it, some parts of it are going to be more visible than others. Some things will stand out and others will be lost in shadow. And so when Jesus preaches to his congregation and encourages them, indeed tells them, commands them that they should be a light, that they should shine it for the world and do so through their actions, he poses an implicit question. What will people see? When that light shines, what will people see? We in the Christian church say we are heirs to the promises made to Israel. And so, if we are indeed heirs, then we too must consider this question. What will people see when they look at the Christian church? And this question is posed to the church universal and to the church locally, to the church here in Lebanon. What will people see? Do they see a beautiful meeting house? Do they see a prime piece of real estate? Do they see a set of bylaws, a newspaper ad, a balance sheet? What do people see? Do they see people coming together for worship on Sunday mornings? Do they see a place where community groups can meet, where concerts can be held, where discussions can be had? Do they see a place where a community dinner is served and neighbors come together serving and sharing food? Do they see a place where people are striving for and sometimes stumbling as they seek to draw closer to God and grow deeper in faith? Do they see a place where people are willing and ready to listen to one another and to love one another and to forgive one another and to care for one another? Do they see a place where people are willing to be followers of Jesus? This is the question before this church. And it is indeed the question before every Christian congregation. What will people see when they look at this church? A work in progress, perhaps. We have had a difficult and challenging year. People have been hurt, and people have hurt others. Conversations have been held and continue to be held. Work has begun, and it continues. The work of the church goes on. The ministry of Jesus Christ continues. What will people see? That is a question that we are called to consider and ponder. Being a city on a hill, what do you envision? What do you imagine? Is it a place of soaring towers? A gleaming metropolis? A place that people want to visit, that they find exciting and enticing? Or is that city walled and turned in on itself, withdrawn from the world around it? Being the city on a hill is not so easy, and it carries risks. Because when that city is out there on that hill, it is exposed, and it is vulnerable, and it is taking risks. Maybe it would be easier to be hidden away in some glen or valley. But that's not the call of the Christian church. No, the church is called to be out there, to be open, to shine a light unto the world. We've been given a pretty good light here at First Congregational Church of Lebanon. Despite our differences, we have an amazing pool of talented people here willing to share their faith and experience with others. We have a beautiful space in which to worship. We have financial resources that are the envy of churches throughout this state. And yes, we've got a great location. We have so much. And we are called to be a light to this community and to the wider world. And so this day, we ask the question, what do people see? What do you hope they will see when they look upon this church? What do you think they see when they look upon this church? And most importantly, what would God have them see?